Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, joining us now. Put together KenPalm.com, one of the best dudes in the business. And again, Ken Pomeroy joining us. Ken, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Always lovely to chat with you, and really looking forward to the game tonight.
Really fired up. Is Klingon the best matchup that Edie will have faced in the post this NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. Yeah, I mean, Klingon is just he's a defensive force, first of all, and that's really kind of what matters here. Great rim protector, not too foul prone. It's kind of interesting, this matchup. Neither of these guys have ever fouled out of a college basketball game. So if either of these guys gets in foul trouble, it'll be a huge surprise. So, it will be a challenge here for Mr. Edie for sure.
So, Ken, I got to give you a heads up because Scotty and I, we actually used your name to leverage a relationship.
Oh, yeah, we did. Sorry about that.
And I'm going to tell you right now, Scotty, and I don't know, maybe you would agree with me on this. So Scotty and I were talking with the new Utah State head coach, Coach Calhoun, and he was talking about you. And because he's analytic-driven, and Scotty goes, well, we might be able to, I can't remember, putting a meeting together.
We might be able to contact, and he looks at he's like, do you guys know Ken? I'm like, saucer, oh, do we know Ken?
Saucer plate eyes. He was like, you guys, and Scotty's like, yeah, he lives here in Utah. He does? So you're probably going to be getting a call from Coach Calhoun at some point.
Well, that's exciting. I thought you guys might ask me about the hire, and I know of his work. I don't know a lot about the gentleman, but now I'm a fan. Now I love the hire. So,
he's a big time analytic guy, and he's a big fan of yours. So, anytime we can leverage the great Ken Pomeroy to develop a relationship, we're probably going to do it. But
I do it quite often, Ken. your name wields a very large sword.
Hey, so overall, though, how do you see this game playing out tonight? Because, look, at the end of the day, we don't have a dog in this fight. We just want good basketball. Do you anticipate that Purdue can hang with this juggernaut that UConn's building right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's just been an incredible run for UConn. It's hard to envision a scenario where they have a close game, just because they haven't had a close game in 11 straight tournament games. But if any team is going to do it, it's going to be Purdue, and Purdue does have some advantages. Like, they are a better 3-point shooting team. They are a slightly better rebounding team. They don't commit turnovers. So there's some things they do really well. It's just that UConn is so good offensively, namely scoring at the rim. Like, they're just very good at that. Edie himself, I mean, obviously he's a presence, and he's going to be a presence in this game, and that will have an impact on UConn. But he's not really an assertive rim protector. That's part of the reason why he's not foul prone, is he really doesn't, aggressively swat shots unless he needs to. So I think it will be a compelling game. I don't, it might go the way that the UConn-Alabama game did, where it was a compelling game for 30, 35 minutes, and then, UConn kind of pulls away at the end. I don't see this being a lopsided game at halftime. I think it will be compelling for a while. And if, maybe Purdue can, if they're especially hot from three-point land, this is a game that could come down to the wire.
I was trying to evaluate an area where UConn has any type of significant weakness, or at least observable weakness, that Purdue could potentially take advantage of. If UConn were weak in an area, Ken, what would that area even be?
Yeah, I mean, that's their secret. That's why they've been so good. That's why they've been one of the most dominant tournament teams that really we've ever seen. The one area, though, I will say, is that they do, they are not clinging himself necessarily, but they are a little bit foul prone. And Purdue is great at getting to the free throw line. So, that's one area where Purdue does have an advantage. They should get to the line significantly more than UConn does. And as I said, Purdue's a better 3-point shooting team as well. So depending how UConn wants to defend Edie, if they're going to help off of shooters and double Edie, which most teams have not done in this tournament, but if they choose to do that, Purdue will make them pay, or can make them pay, from the 3-point line. So, I mean, those are the two areas to watch for. Both these teams are really skilled offensively. This should be just a really fun game to watch. I mean, this is one of the most highly anticipated national championship games on the men's side that I can really remember. there's some recency bias there, I'm sure. But I mean, it's, you got the two best teams in college basketball. You got these two kind of elite 7-footers matching up on each other. These two teams are playing, you know, their best basketball of the year. So it really should be a great game.
So what has Dan Hurley been able to do to really just allow UConn to build this juggernaut of a team that they're on right now? I mean, obviously talent is going to be supreme, but is there some kind of secret sauce that he's put together that's really created a culture in which UConn is just not just beating teams, just dominating teams?
Yeah, it's phenomenal, Scotty. It's hard to explain. I think, you know, first of all, he is a, you know, I'm going to go overboard, but I mean, he's an elite offensive coach. He's proved that the last 2 years, and he's been able to find the talent to match. And you just got to give him a lot of credit for finding the talent. Like, Donovan Klingon was not a 5-star guy at high school, but he's turned out to be a, you know, one of the best basketball. Tristan Newton, you know, transfer from East Carolina, who was really good at East Carolina, but he wasn't like, you know, this game-changing transfer. That's not what people thought when he came to UConn. You know, Cam Spencer coming over from Rutgers, kind of the same deal. Like, he's filling just this perfect role for UConn. You know, he's really an elite three-point shooter, and he can just play off, you know, kind of the other four guys on the floor. Alex Caravan, another guy, not a 5-star recruit, but has turned out to be a really outstanding college basketball player. Stephon Castle was a 5-star recruit and has been really one of the best freshmen in the country, notably for his defensive skill. I mean, he's a wing who has, you know, kind of the athleticism and prototypical NBA body. And, you know, he's a guy that, you know, you maybe project as more of a scorer in the NBA, but really what he brings to UConn is just an elite defensive mentality, which is something you don't see from a freshman very often. So, you know, we'll see what this looks like 5 years from now. I mean, maybe, you know, UConn crashes and burns as a program, but this 2-year run has been incredible. And, you know, there really hasn't been anything like it in the last 20 years in college basketball.
So, you know, we've been watching a little bit of a coaching carousel move around, and right here in the state has been interesting with Coach Sprinkle and his movement. But I actually wanted to get just a few more thoughts from you on what you know of Coach Calhoun's work and what Utah State did just hire.
Right. As I said, I've been a fan of his work just because I think people, you know, obviously people don't realize, people probably haven't, they're not familiar with like what Youngstown State has done under his watch. Youngstown State had really zero basketball tradition when he showed up there 7 years ago. And he's built something where, you know, they were the best or among the best teams in the Horizon League the last couple of years. They obviously didn't get the job done in their conference tournament, so they didn't get to the NCAA tournament. And so that kind of kept him under the radar. But to me, it's a really impressive hire. And obviously, you know, you're going to look at guys who have success in the NCAA tournament, and that might be your first choice. But really, like, Jared Calhoun just kind of steadily built that program year after year after year. They got just a little bit better every year. And, you know, he got them to the point where they were the best team in their league. And again, at a place where that had really never happened. So I think when you add all those factors up, this wasn't a fluke what he did. And it's, you know, it's the formula that's worked for Utah State for hiring coaches. And so, you know, you might as well go to that well again. Like, it's worked, and this should work. Again, I'm not one of these guys that, like, every time somebody hires a coach, I'm like, hey, you know, that's a home run hire or whatever. Like, sometimes these things don't work out, and there's no guarantee that this will work out. But I do think, based on the information we have right now, this was an excellent choice.
So, again, I'm asking you to be a little subjective here, and I know that's not your world. You're all about the numbers and the computer rankings and stuff like that, but this is my opinion. You can tell me if I'm totally off base on this. I've been of the belief that John Calipari is actually a great X's and O's coach. I think he goes out and he recruits really well. He brings in really great talent and can sometimes overwhelm you with that talent. What do you think of the move to Arkansas, and how much better does he improve that program?
I think that's a fair assessment of John Calipari. Like, he's kind of the opposite a little bit of Dan Hurley, where, you know, UConn doesn't seem like they have overwhelming talent, but somehow the parts all fit together and he gets the most out of the talent. Whereas with John Calipari, he's had to win. When he's won big, it's been with, like, easily the best talent. And when he hasn't had the best talent, you know, you could, I don't know, you could argue they underachieve or whatever, but he never really seems to overachieve with the talent that he has. As far as the move goes, I mean, it makes sense on the level that, you know, his time at Kentucky had kind of, you know, he kind of worn out his welcome to some extent. Obviously, the standard there is enormously high. And, you know, if you go a decade without getting to a Final Four, like, you're just not going to last. And the only reason he could last was because Kentucky kind of, I don't know, stupidly signed him to a lifetime contract.
Yeah.
You know, would have had to have spent a lot of money to get out of. And so Don Calipari is really doing them a favor by kind of voluntarily taking a different job. And, you know, Arkansas is probably a good fit for him. The expectations there are not, you know, make a Final Four every other year. They do have high expectations. But it's a, you know, program with a lot of resources, potentially a lot of NIL money. He should be able to recruit just as well there as he did at Kentucky. You know, the question is, can he, you know, supplement those recruits with quality transfers? Because that was really the weakness at Kentucky and why he couldn't break through here the last few years.
So these are the dominoes. So you got Musselman that goes to USC. You got Calipari to Kentucky. Well, now what happens with Kentucky? Who do you fill that spot with?
Right. That is going to be a fascinating thing to track here over the next few days. I guess the big name out there right now is Nate Oates at Alabama. I don't know if Nate Oates has got a great situation at Alabama. You know, we talk about expectations. I mean, he can coach, first of all, the first, you know, 6 weeks of the season. Nobody cares about basketball at Alabama. So, you know, that's a nice little, you know, pressure-free start to the season. And really, whatever, as long as the football program is winning, whatever the basketball program does is kind of a bonus. So I don't know if Nate Oates would want that job. We'll find out. You know, people have talked about Danny Hurley. I can't see him leaving UConn. I mean, especially if he wins tonight. Like, you know, why would you want to go to Kentucky? You just won back-to-back national titles. You can clearly win whatever you want at UConn. Scott Drew at Baylor is you know, a guy who's been kind of widely rumored to be a successor for Calipari whenever that happens. Again, Scott Drew kind of seems like a lifer at Baylor. I mean, I realize we always kind of, you know, overrate loyalty in the coaching profession. And so maybe one of those guys will bail and see some attraction to Kentucky. But those are the three guys. And then after that, you know, it gets a little more murky, I think. But they're definitely going to take a big swing at those guys. Billy Donovan's another name that's come up. And I could actually see that happening. You know, things aren't going great in Chicago. And so, you know, if he wants to get back in the college game, you know, I could see him going to Kentucky, obviously, and trying to win a title there.
I watching Edie in person, when they played Utah State, it just, and I keep telling Hans this, and I've said on the radio a bunch, like, TV doesn't do him justice, his size. And I think people saw that a little bit more when they saw the side by side with him hugging Shaq after the game and just seeing how he's just so much bigger than Shaq, and Shaq isn't svelte by any means these days. And so when you see that size and you see that strength and that soft touch around the rim, you're thinking, oh, he's going to be a great pro. But he's not overly athletic. You know, he doesn't run the court like a gazelle by any measure. And again, I'm asking you to be a little subjective here, but when you look at him taking that step to the next level, how do you see him as a pro?
Yeah, it's a real challenge. I mean, I think the issue is entirely on the defensive end. You know, what can he do there? He moves really well for a guy of his size. Like, you will see him occasionally have to, you know, hedge ball screens or whatever. And he's like competent at that at the college level. He probably won't be competent at that at the NBA level. And it's hard to succeed with a guy playing a one-man zone, which you saw a lot against NC State, kind of him play that way, because NC State didn't have a post player who really could, you know, hurt you from the perimeter. But you don't have those situations at the NBA level. So I think offensively it can work. You got to get the right personnel around him. You know, you have to say four people that can space the floor. And if you can do that, like, his role at the NBA level can be pretty similar to what it is at the college level. Like, he can draw fouls and he can convert, you know, if he gets on the block and gets the ball there, like, he can, you know, he doesn't even need to get totally to the rim to be able to convert efficiently. But defensively is really the question mark. And that's going to be what, you know, NBA talent evaluators will be, you know, really obsessing over here over the next few weeks.
Hey, Ken, is this the best predictive year in KenPom.com history?
You got number one and number two going at it tonight.
You nailed it, Ken.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's that's more a statement about just it is rare for one to play two, right? Like the tournament is usually unpredictable, and it's really hard to get these matchups. And that's why I say this is really one of the most anticipated matchups we've had in a long time, because it's rare where the two best teams face off against each other, especially with, you know, like two, well, certainly with Zach Edey, you know, maybe the most famous guy on the men's side in college basketball. So it actually has been kind of bizarrely like predictable. Certainly when you go back to like the preseason ratings, like I look back at those and like it's been a year that largely there haven't been a ton of surprises, which in itself is surprising given how much, you know, player movement there is in the modern game.
Well, Ken, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging out with us. Enjoy the game tonight, and maybe we'll check in with you a little bit closer to the draft and get some thoughts on some of these college players making the jump to the next level, and maybe what the Jazz should be or could be looking at as well. But we appreciate your time as always. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Ken.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it. Ken Pomeroy.